Well, here it is. It's right here. Does anybody know what this is? Does anybody know what this blue tape means? Yeah, Amazon what? Prime, Amazon Prime. Anybody here besides me take advantage of Amazon Prime? Oh, it's good, isn't it? Amazon Prime is awesome. It really is, because, and it's changing things, isn't it? And of course, I guess at some point, we'll have drones bringing this stuff to us, right? So this was maybe a little bit too big or too heavy for a drone. I don't know, it depends on what was in it. But I'll tell you what, when I got this package on Friday, I felt really special. It was really a special delivery for me because we like coffee, and we do like to go to Starbucks and other kinds of coffee shops sometimes, but we like to have that at home also when we don't get to go out and do that. So we have been one of those people that have not a huge espresso machine, but we have a little frother. Anybody else have a frother? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like a glass thing, and you pump it up and down, and it makes the milk all bubbly. You heat it up, put it in the coffee. It's just like Starbucks, almost, right? And so I think we're probably on our fourth frother now because they're glass. And you can get plastic ones, I guess, but probably it just tastes better in glass. So not too long ago, and we also have a really nice sink, but it's not ceramic. It's something like that, though. It's hard. It's stuff, it's enamel. It's something, you know, stuff, if a glass tips over in it just the right way, it'll break. Well, that happened again not too long ago. So I ordered a frother for my wife, and I actually had it as part of her Valentine's gift. And I just kept it in the box because it was a nice little box when it came, and I wrapped it all up as with other stuff and put it in this bag. And, oh, this is great. We're going to be able to have coffee again like we like it. And so the next day, I took it down to the kitchen, and I, you know, opened it up, and it was broken. So that was not a very special delivery. It's because it came in just the box that it was in with just a little bit of packing inside of it. I mean, there was an exterior cardboard box, but the box that the frother was in, just a little bit. So when I reordered it, of course they credited me and I reordered it. This is how it came the next time. It was a different vendor that I got it from, so maybe if I'd have started with this one in the first place, it would have come like this, but this was a special delivery because when it came like this, I thought, wow, did I order like a 64-ounce frother? What happened? I thought it was 8 ounces. So I opened it up, and inside of it was this with this packing material. And then I opened this up, and inside of this, there was this with this packing material. And here it is. And if you can't see up close, here's what it looks like. Isn't that nice? Bonjour. Oh, coffee and tea. So, and this one has a spoon. I've never had a spoon with the other ones before. And when you open this, it was inside of all of this. And once you took it out of this, inside the glass thing itself, there was all this stuff, all this packaging and stuff. And so this is kind of a mess, but all right, stand back. I know some of you are gonna, all right, I know you. All right, so, but that was a really special, that was an amazing special delivery. If that's gonna be distracting, I'll move it, but that just kind of shows you all that somebody went to make this a really special delivery for me. And that's great, and coffee's great, and frothers are great, and don't we have a cushy first world problem life, don't we, right? But there is an amazing delivery that has been made in our behalf that far surpasses any type of material thing that we could ever have, way beyond anything that we may consider important in this life. And it is exemplified by this verse in Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. And this is what I believe the Lord has for us to focus on today. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is an amazing, amazing message. This is the message that we have sung about already today in every single song. Thank you, worship team, for leading us. Every single song had really this message in it. And so God, I believe, is really speaking this to us. The songs that we sang already talked about his power to do this in our lives. He has delivered us. And so this is an amazing special delivery, and the deliverance is from darkness to light. In the particular passage there in Colossians, it says he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That kingdom is a kingdom of light, and actually the verse right before that, Colossians 1:12, tells us that. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So just so that we know that it is appropriate to say darkness to light, there's that. And then, so that was Paul, right? And then Peter also says this in 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him, like we just did today, who called you, here it is, out of darkness into his marvelous light. And this is such an amazing reality in which we now live. And as we continue together this morning, I pray that we would connect in an even greater level with this. And so today we're talking about a very special delivery, not something temporal, but something eternal. We're talking about being delivered from darkness to light. He has delivered us from darkness to light. And so as we think about this, there's a way to help organize our thoughts, perhaps, and that's this. Today, and we've already done this, haven't we? But as we look at the scriptures, we'll be able to continue to do it, and that is this. Give thanks, glory, honor, and praise to God, our great deliverer. Understand that we have been transferred to be transformed. There's something in the verses surrounding this that talks about our transformation. And so he's taken us out of one place, put us into another, so that we would be transformed. And then thirdly, since that is the case, we need to continue to meditate on and understand to a greater level and act upon the fact that we live in the freedom of his redemption and let others know that they can too. So that's what I hope we will do as we continue together today. And as we do that, I'd like to just look at a few of the words that are in those two verses. We'll also look at the verses before and after, but in particular, just as I look at those two verses, there's so much in there. And so let's look at it this way, okay? He has delivered us. So, you know, when we read scripture, sometimes we might just sort of read through it and we just think about the whole context of it maybe, but we don't look at some of the individual parts. So think about him for a minute. And who is the he that Paul's talking about here? God the Father. He, God the Father. We know it's God the Father because before that verse it says that. And also, whoever did this transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, who is Jesus. So this is talking about God the Father, has delivered us. He has delivered us. He has delivered us. God the Father, not we ourselves. We didn't deliver ourselves. Someone who needs deliverance is helpless and hopeless and can't do anything for themselves. If you're drowning and you don't know how to swim, or you're injured and you can't swim, or the tide and the current is so strong that it's pulling you under, you can't deliver yourself. You need someone to reach down and to pull you up out of that, to throw you a lifeline, to throw you a life preserver or something. So he did this. We didn't do it. He delivered us. Only he could do it. As I said, we were powerless to do it. And also, he still does it today. He does it today. And we heard about that, I think, some through the word that Brenda gave us, that he's available. He wants to draw people into his kingdom. He is the one. And also, it doesn't just say it, like there's some impersonal force that delivered us, right? He delivered us. He's a personal God. He's our Father. So when we think about how we've been delivered, there is a great, gracious, everlasting, personal Father who's the one who's done that. He has delivered us. So that helps me as I think about what he has done, that it is really he who has done it, and I have a connection with him, and he is a personal God. How about this word delivered? He has delivered us. He's rescued us. The NIV, this is the ESV version, English Standard Version, the New International Version says, he rescued us. So there's this idea, again, of powerlessness and hopelessness, and of somebody reaching down and grabbing a hold of us, pulling us up out of something, delivering us from something. Has anybody here ever been rescued in a real dramatic manner like that? Yeah, okay. Maybe it was from a car accident. Maybe it was from an illness. Maybe it was from, I was in a riptide about 1 year into our marriage, and so God delivered me from that. My wife actually kind of helped me to go the right direction. I was trying to swim in, you know, you're never supposed to swim in, you got to swim with it, and then eventually you'll end up like I did about four blocks down the beach, you know, and I tell you what, that was quite an experience. So I guess I could say I've had other things too that I've been delivered from as well, but you know, but anybody, any kind of a dramatic rescue, like actually, or yeah, so maybe, yeah, okay. So some of us may understand that. We read about these things, don't we? But this is actually what happened. It was dramatic, and it was done by a loving personal Father. He did it, and he delivered us. We couldn't do it. It's all him. Again, it's like rescuing someone who's drowning. And it's something that was done for us, not by us. Thank you, Lord. Another scripture that really gives us a pretty graphic image of this is Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. It's like a slimy pit, right? A muddy thing. And set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So remember that word that came to us this morning was about, you know, you're living your life and people are noticing. And God's going to use you and connect you with people so that they can also know as well. And remember, that's one of the things that we're hoping to be encouraged about as we continue in this passage, which is that we would live in his freedom and let others know that they can too. So this really encapsulates a lot of that too, doesn't it? And it gives a great image of somebody just being extricated, right? That's a good word, isn't it? Extricated, extracted from, taken up out of, like quicksand or muddy bog or something like that. And so it gives us this greater sense of what it really is that God has done for us in delivering us from darkness. That thing, you know, had a big hold, but he delivered us from it. Also, he didn't do it begrudgingly, right? Wow, these people are so messed up. I might have to do something. No. I mean, it's true, that's true, but that's not God's attitude, is it? We heard that also this morning. I love you, my son, my daughter. We heard that he didn't do it begrudgingly, but he did it passionately, right? It's like that if you or I ever had an opportunity to rescue someone, we wouldn't just be kind of going, oh, well, I guess I better do this, you know, just kind of go, this stuff's in my way here. Let me get this out of the way first and I'll go help this person out over here. All right, come on, get up out of there. No, that's not what we would do. We would just bolt, right? We would go, you know, I know someone who actually is in my family who got out of a car on 95 because they thought somebody was trapped in their car, and they went and rushed, and the guy actually was okay, but, you know, this person in my family just got up and just went, didn't think for his own safety, but he just went ahead and did it. And so so that's what we would do if there was a situation like that. And that's just on an earthly level. That is what God has done. not begrudgingly, but passionately. He's passionately drawn us up out of that muck and that mire. He's passionately delivered us from the domain of darkness. And so let's look now at those words too. There's the domain of darkness, right? It's the domain is where the control of that thing is. Isn't that right? So the domain of darkness is where darkness rules, right? And actually, the scripture teaches us that all of us really were born into that kingdom because of sin, original sin, that we have both inherited and committed, right? So we have sin and we have sinned, right? And so we were all in that darkness. So every single one of us has been delivered from that domain and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. These two things in Greek may or may not mean something kind of close to each other, but I do kind of like how it is in English right here now, because one is a domain, and you sort of go, well, that's your domain. When I used to be a teacher, I do teach a class here in Grace Christian also, but when I taught full-time, the headmaster of the school said, okay, your classroom is your domain. And so you're the one in charge of that. You set the rules, you set the standards. I mean, we had a school-wide code and system that we used, but that's your place. You know, if you want a poster on the wall, then you put that poster on the wall. It's your domain. But that wasn't the whole school, right? So if I kind of like the fact that, at least for me when I'm thinking about this, I think the domain of darkness, yes, it's powerful. Yes, it has a hold, but it's not a kingdom. It is a kingdom of darkness, but we're talking about the King Jesus, the one with the wonderful name, the name of Jesus. And so proportionately, it's kind of like the difference between my classroom and a whole school system, right? Or something like that, right? Okay, so I kind of like how that is, but it does speak to the fact that there are these systems of control that are being discussed here. And so he has transferred us from one to the other. These two kingdoms are completely different realms, and they're completely opposed to each other. And as I've already said, everyone by birth has been in the domain of darkness. And unless and until God delivers us from that darkness, that's where we stay. But when he does that, that's when we're born again. That's when that new life starts. And he has delivered us from that. So, yes, we do. We are aware of that. We hear the gospel. We understand it because he gives us the grace to. Because in our fallen state, it's not natural to give up control of our lives to someone else. But because of God's grace and the power of his Holy Spirit, he's working in us. And we come to the point where we not only know we have to do that, but then we want to do it because we see this. We see what's in the future, right? We see what's coming. We see the kingdom of light, and the light comes on, right? And then we are born again, and we're coming into that kingdom. It's where he's drawing us out. He is delivering us out of the one and placing us into the other. Now, when you're transferred, Well, we'll get to that. Here we go. When you're transferred from one to the other, I was thinking about this, and it's not like this. It's not like, well, you know, my life was bad. I met Jesus, now my life's good. That's a pretty low-level understanding of being transferred from darkness to light. It's not just like, my life was bad, now it's good. It's not just, well, you know, I used to do what I wanted, but now that I'm a Christian, well, I kind of got to do these other things because I got to obey the rules now because I'm a Christian, right? It's not like that. I'm not getting the transfer if that's what I'm thinking has happened or is happening, right? Rather, we're in a completely different place. It's not just a difference of night and day, but it's actually a different realm. It's a whole different place. Lived by a new life. We're a new creation. And so in a sort of abstract, hopefully not too weird kind of way, it's like we're here, we're still here, but we're not really here. Do you know what I mean? It's like our outward surroundings haven't changed, but everything's different. Oh, sorry. Everything's different on the inside. The surroundings are the same, but as at the beginning of the service, our outlook is completely different. those circumstances don't have a hold on us. Just like the grave didn't have a hold on Jesus, like we sang earlier, all these things no longer have a hold on us. Because we've been delivered from that, and we've been transferred into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we're still here, but we're also there, right? Okay, and that's exciting, and that is life. That's what's going on. And so don't be discouraged. Don't be bullied by the enemy to think that you are in darkness. If God himself has actually delivered you from darkness, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you're not in darkness. Darkness is around. It can come at you and me, but it has no hold on us. And that's not who we are. Yeah, we're still here, but we are definitely there also, right? Okay, amen. So this is kind of neat, because this one word, redemption, in the same way in which these two verses seem to be a real focal point of all the several verses before and after, just this one word, redemption, to me is even kind of a focal point of these two verses, because redemption... Oh, well, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Kingdom. Let's talk about the kingdom again really quickly. Sorry. So he's transferred us into his kingdom. Okay, and what is that like? Remember? I said we're transferred so that we can be transformed. Okay, and when we're in that kingdom, that's what starts happening. And here is what Christ's kingdom is like based on verses 9 through 12 in Colossians 1. That if you're following in your Bible, you can look at that. But I've just kind of extracted these and put them up here in bullet form. In Christ's kingdom, we're filled with the knowledge of his will. And in fact, this is a prayer. Paul is praying this for the people at Colossae, and the fact that he's praying it for them means that this is what, you know, they're supposed to have in the kingdom of God, right? In Christ's kingdom, he prays, praying that they be filled with the knowledge of his will. So we can be filled with it. Oh, what's God's will for my life? I don't know. In the kingdom, where it's supposed to come, we're supposed to know it. It's available for us to know that, right? It's not a secret anymore, right? So we're filled with the knowledge of his will. We get all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We can walk worthy of and pleasing to him. I've heard that already today too. Somebody said something like that at the beginning. I think Steve did. Bearing fruit in every good work. Do you feel like your life isn't amounting to anything? Well, in the kingdom of God, it is, and it will, because in his kingdom, that's the principle. There's fruit that's being born, and it's happening. Now, we have responsibilities, but if you're in that kingdom, you're in fertile ground, okay, and you will bear fruit. So don't be fooled into thinking you won't or can't. We're increasing in the knowledge of God. We're strengthened with all power. Remember where we said our circumstances are still there, but they don't have the power. The power of the kingdom of Christ is there to strengthen us with all of that power. And then we can have all endurance and patience with joy. I particularly think that joy is a very great person, and I would never think anybody would need to be all that patient with her. So thankful to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And so there's an inheritance, and it's light. And all of this goodness and amazing truth and reality of the kingdom of God, it's all there, really, in a sense, at our disposal for our benefit and for our use, and so that we would live in the freedom of Christ and we would let others know that they can too. That's all there. And that's what we get because we've been delivered from this domain and transferred to this kingdom. This is a glorious kingdom, and this isn't the only place where it's described. Okay, but it's kind of neat that it's right before these verses is all this stuff too in verses 9 through 12. So it's the kingdom of his beloved Son. So if we're still not convinced that this is the most amazing thing that could possibly happen to us and for us, if we're still not convinced that God has lovingly done this, he's passionately delivered us, not begrudgingly, just look at where he's put us. It's a kingdom of light. It's the kingdom of Christ. It's the kingdom of his beloved Son. I mean, that's the most amazing place we could ever be, isn't it? I mean, that's extraordinary that we could be in the kingdom where he who is the most dear and close to his Father is right there. That, and so we're there with him in that kingdom, the kingdom of his Son. And who is Jesus? Oh my goodness, look at the verses after that, 15 to 20. I'm just putting these things up in bullet point, right? But this is all in Colossians 1. He's the image of the invisible God. That means he is God, okay, in the flesh. He's the firstborn, and when you see that, it kind of means the preeminent one. It doesn't mean, I mean, of course, he was born of Mary, right? But it doesn't mean he was created. It doesn't mean he's a created being when you see firstborn. It means he's the preeminent one of whatever that is. So he's the firstborn of creation. It means he's the preeminent one. In fact, he is the creator himself, right? Through him, he created all things, right? He is before all things. That means not he's the first one that was created and then there's everything else. It means he's above or ahead of or, you know, before all things were there. He was there. He holds everything together. This is Jesus, the Son that he's talking about is this one here. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn, again, from the dead, which means that he's like the conqueror, the master over death. He's the preeminent one over the dead, right? Because he has been resurrected. Death could not hold him. We sang that this morning. He's preeminent in everything. Jesus is amazing. And so he is the reconciler of all things to God through the cross. So when we've been put into the kingdom of his beloved Son, this is the guy that Paul's talking about, right? Jesus. And this is just a partial revelation of who Jesus is in these verses here. And he has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption is such an amazing concept. And I've put up here some details from a word study that's on Bible Hub. You can go there. You can go Greek interlinear. You can get all the meanings for the Greek words. And so there's a Greek word for redemption, and it means this: buying back from or repurchasing or winning back what was previously forfeited or lost. So if we have redemption in him, doesn't that remind you of the fact that we were in darkness and he delivered us from darkness and transferred us into light? And that's what that word means, redemption. He bought us back. Actually, you know, there was a price that was paid, right? It was his blood that he used to pay that price, winning back what was previously forfeited or lost. It also, this is great, isn't it? It emphasizes the distance. I like how they said this, the safety margin that results between the rescued person and what previously had enslaved them, right? There is not, there is an infinite safety margin here, right? Because if he, God the Father, is the one who did this, can anybody undo it? No. He is God. He's the creator of all things, and Jesus, his Son, who's the image of the invisible God. God has done this. And so there's a pretty big, actually there's an infinite security margin between darkness and light. And for us now who are in the light, that is an amazing margin. It results between the rescued person and what previously enslaved them. For the believer, God's effective work of grace, it was very effective, wasn't it? It was completely and totally effective. His effective work of grace purchased them from the debt of sin and brought them to their new status being in Christ. So when you're in the kingdom of light, it's because you're in Christ. When you're delivered from the domain of darkness and put into the kingdom of his beloved Son, it means that you are saved. You've been born again. There's a new life there now, and death and darkness have no hold over us. They have no business in our lives, and actually, we also need to forsake them as well, right, to kind of keep them out, right? We need to forsake sin so that it doesn't entangle us. And so that's what's so amazing, because we have redemption, and it's through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So aren't you glad this morning that we have that in Christ? Aren't you glad that we have the forgiveness of sins, that each and every morning his mercies are new? It doesn't mean go ahead and do what you want because he'll forgive you anyway. But we do wind up doing things, don't we? Every single day, a harsh word, a wrong attitude, doing something that's clearly outside of God's will, that we've been seen in Scripture, we've been told about, that we've been maybe even battling. All these things. So his mercies are new every morning. We have redemption through his blood, and that includes the forgiveness of our sins. It includes being separated from that thing that kept us from God before, and now we've been placed lovingly, passionately, purposefully, not begrudgingly, into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, God, when we are in that new place, that new realm, he starts to transform us, and he continues to transform us. He's transferred us out of the one and into the other so that we could be transformed, and then that's what people see, like we've heard earlier today. That's what they see, and like Psalm 40 says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So yes, we have to use words, but also just what's going on in our lives. Maybe as you're describing to somebody what he's done for you, that makes them go, wow, I didn't know there were any options for my life. You obviously seem to have exercised a certain option that you came across. Maybe I should. I'm kind of interested in that. I might want to, that's kind of a fearful thing, but I think maybe I want to put my trust in the Lord now. So that's, you know, we need to live our lives before others, and particularly others who don't know Christ. So that's also a great encouragement for us to ask God to put us in the pathway of people who don't know him, because if we're only in each other's pathways all the time and we're not ever associating with anyone who's outside of Christ, well, people aren't going to see and fear and put their trust in the Lord through our lives anyway. That's the thing I think we could pray for. Oh, here's just a couple more. These two are from Ephesians, and Pastor Steve is going to start next week a series on Ephesians. But these two also talk about redemption. Ephesians 1, 7 to 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That's the same thing that Paul said in Colossians, right? According to the, think about this too. This shows you how passionate God is about us and about what he has in mind for us, that he's like this, right? According to the riches of his grace, that's why he did it. It wasn't because he was obligated to do it, because of the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. That's why he delivered us, right? And in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, the deliverer, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's like Colossians 1:20 that said that Jesus brought everything back together, right, through the work that he did on the cross. And then also in Ephesians 2:4-7, this just tells us more and more about God. It's good for us to just keep reminding ourselves. But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, right? If you and I, what we were, and hopefully we are not now, but if a person is in the domain of darkness, they are actually dead to God, right? That person is dead in their sins and trespasses. Okay, but he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And here's some pretty amazing stuff here. He raised us up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Boy, isn't that amazing? His intention is to show these immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us. He has nothing but good for us because he has rescued us. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He has transferred us to and placed us in the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And it's kind of like in Romans 5, it's the how much more chapter, right? If God already did this, well, then how much more is he going to do this, right? Go look that up. There's like four different things in that chapter. And so it's just, you know, this realization of the fact that he has redeemed us. We want to thank him for it. We want to realize it, meditate on it, understand it, so that we will live in that redemption and let others know that they can also. And so, how do we do that? We worship. We worship him. We have had a wonderful opportunity already to worship him. We'll have an opportunity at the end also to worship him. And worship is not just singing the songs when we come together. Of course, it's all of our lives. It's everything. But acknowledging him, worshiping him, he delivered us, right? Remember that it's he is the one that did it. So we worship him. I would encourage us to pray that scripture that Paul prayed for the Colossians. We can pray that for ourselves and meditate on it. And also, just even as you're praying, it's really helpful sometimes. And I'm really grateful that, I don't know who said it, but somewhere along the line, somebody just said, well, you know, you should pray the scripture. So a lot of times, in fact, this past week, you know, knowing that I was going to talk about this, I said, Lord, thank you so much that you have delivered us from the domain of darkness. You have transferred us into the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And plus, if you're saying that, you're kind of memorizing it some too, aren't you? And it sticks in there. The reality of that, we start to live more in that reality than the one that we've been plucked out of, right? Because we have a tendency to stay and live in that reality, but that's not reality for us anymore. But the new thing is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his Son. And okay, so that I already said that, pray Paul's prayer. I guess the first one there, what I meant was pray Colossians 1, 13 and 14, as I kind of demonstrated to you there. Then pray that prayer that Paul prayed in the verses prior to that. Minister to others. How about this? We can ask ourselves this question. How can I help someone else to be delivered? We know he is the one who does it, but how did that happen in my life and in yours? In some cases, people do have a direct revelation from God. Saul of Tarsus did, right? Sometimes, even today, we hear of Muslims having dreams about Jesus and coming to faith. And he can do that, and he will. Probably for most of us, it didn't involve some kind of an experience like that. Probably for most of us, it involved being in a particular family, knowing a certain coworker, being at a meeting somewhere, and being drawn and wooed by the Spirit of God. So we do have a role to play, certainly, and we should ask ourselves, what can I do? How can I help? Just ask that question open-endedly to God and see how he may respond to that. Today, as we get ready now to worship again, to thank the Lord for what he's done, and as we continue to focus on this so that we will understand the great redemption that he's given us and offer that to others also, I would like to also say, I believe there's someone here today who God is wanting to restore to you tenderness. And usually when I think of tenderness, I think it's like a heart thing. But I feel like there may be someone here, and I kind of feel like it's a man or a couple men. It could be ladies as well, so if that's you, don't not take this word if that's for you. But in particular, there may be a couple of us guys who over the years have just sort of felt like we're a little bit jaded to things now, where maybe we had some failures, and so we're just not quite feeling the ability to feel things passionately towards others or maybe family members, or I don't know what it is. I just felt, I don't want to expound on it too much, because really all I felt that the Lord was encouraging me to say was God wants to really restore tenderness to someone today, or maybe multiple people. So if that's you, receive that from the Lord. Ask him to, you know, maybe it'll be something that just when you walk out of here, everything will be different, or maybe it'll be a process. But just allow God to restore tenderness to your heart. I would also really want to encourage us to continue in intercession. It's really a blessing that we have a pre-service prayer meeting here, and many of the things that happen during the service are if not begun there, they are carried on and carried through there and kind of help prepare us for what happens here. And it just reminded me of how important intercession is. So that's a way that you and I can help someone to get delivered. So intercede for others around you. And finally, if there's anyone here who is still in the kingdom of the domain of darkness, God would not want you to stay there. He has delivered us, and he can deliver you. And so if that's you, I would encourage you to come forward at the end and speak to one of us, and let us welcome you into the family of God and the kingdom of Christ. So,